We were just sitting here talking about how fast Christmas flew by.
It almost goes as fast as summer. Yeah. Summer flies by, but man, this holiday, Christmas just is, comes and goes in a blink of an eye. And I know everybody I've talked to has said the same thing. It's like,
tearing is gone.
It's so much work and it's so much preparation and so much angst, you know, the little kids with wonder and with so much excitement. And it's like, you know, we had grandkids that woke their parents up at 2 and 4 and 5.
And then we had parents that had to wake grandkids up at 7 or 9 or whatever. Yep. But it's just interesting how Christmas is different, and it's different every year, and it's different for every family. And however it is, it's perfect. It was a perfect, perfect Christmas for us. Not without its challenges.
Yeah, we definitely.
Not without its diversion of focus. I'm speaking of me, not you. But, we did an episode a couple of weeks. In fact, I think we did a couple of episodes in preparation for Christmas. And you remember the one when we talked about focusing on the horizontal and not the vertical, and we should be focusing on the vertical, not the horizontal. And I kind of likened it to, you know, the cross, right? The cross has that vertical post and the horizontal beam. And I tended to be on the horizontal a lot more than I thought I was going to be this year, Deb.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Holy moly. You know, we talked about, in one of our episodes, we talked about not letting the expectations around Christmas stress us out and, you know, and just staying focused. And I wasn't 100% successful on any of that this year. You know, which brings us kind of to our topic today. We're between Christmas and New Year's. Obviously, most of the world, many of us, begin to evaluate where we've been this year, how things have been. You know, we cross into January and just automatically, almost instinctively, it seems like we just kind of start evaluating ourselves. You know, we talk about resolutions. We talk about
goals.
what
we're going to do better.
And believe me, I'm all about inventory. You know, I'm all about taking in personal inventory, several of them. I try to do it daily. But, you know, this seems to be the big inventory. You know, businesses are doing that. They're closing their books. Fiscal years for a lot of people are here, and a lot of companies and so forth. And so it's just kind of naturally that time of year when we take a look at ourselves and then we set goals on how to be better.
Yep. We're going to go to the gym more. We're going to go to more meetings. We're going to be more efficient, more effective in all of our goal setting starting January 1. But January 1's Friday, so maybe we'll just bump it to January 5th, which is a Monday.
Exactly. I love your thinking. I love your thinking.
Oh, don't worry. It's really my thinking. I'm not making fun. I'm just like, I'll start.
You're not alone.
Monday. The 5th, not Friday the 1st.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the point, you know, of what we want to talk about today, as we record this podcast. You know, we often come into the new year and our approach now is, okay, what do I need to fix in my life so that I can, when next year rolls around, not have the same regrets, not have the same disappointments, not look at myself in the same shameful way, and on and on.
How's 2026 going to be better than 2025?
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how we.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a common
resolutions.
Yeah,
you know, our good friend Mike. It's many years ago, we were having a conversation. And he said to me, "You want to set some goals, some resolutions?" And I honestly meant this at the time. I don't see it necessarily this way now, but I told him, I said, "You know, Mike, when I do stuff like that, that's just premeditated failure for me." It is.
There you go.
It was, you know, because I would always set this ideal and I always have in my mind, oh, yeah, my resolve is strong this year. I'm absolutely going to do it. And I tend to make those commitments in my strongest moments, not my weak moments.
I think it's after we've indulged in the Christmas food abundance.
Well, that's definitely part of it.
After we have sat around in the Christmas spirit of not getting up and going working out or exercising or being efficient or being productive. And it's like, okay, I'm done being lazy. I'm done overindulging. I'm done overeating. Now I'm going to start strong. I'm going to change it.
What if we did this though? What if we totally reframed resolutions? I think we need some. You know, I'm a believer in setting goals, SMART goals, you know, achievable, measurable, attainable, within a certain time frame, all of those things. I believe all that. I believe in all that. I really do, you know, and it's been part of my corporate life for all my life. You know, we just do these kinds of things, and I think they're wonderful, and I think they're great. However, what if we took a little bit different approach to some of the things in our lives that we would like to see changed or developed or redeemed?
Uh-huh. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. Or redeemed. Maybe we would take a little bit different approach. So maybe, you know, we'll talk about, we're not going to talk about resolutions here. You can get that from a million other places. You know, Simon Sinek and, you know, a million others who are just wonderful people when it comes to things along those lines. And I think, again, that they're great. But what if instead of focusing on our resolutions this year, Deb, we focused on a new beginning?
Yeah. I personally feel like that's more achievable for me, just for the simple fact is it's kind of a weekly thing for me.
Yeah.
It's like every single week when I renew a new beginning, like partaking of the sacrament per se.
Right.
You know, or if I slept through my workout, it's like, okay, well, I always have tomorrow.
I have a new beginning.
I can have a new beginning.
Yeah. You know, I think that as we kind of do this, what we're doing is we really shift from a mindset of self-improvement, which, again, I'm not opposed to.
Right.
But we shift from that mindset of just self-improvement to actual redemption.
Yeah. And you know what? It's actually strengthening a relationship, again, that we've talked about previously, about strengthening our relationship with the Savior. Because you know what? He really is the change. We talk about changing our heart. Sometimes he gives us a whole new heart. Talk about a really new beginning. I mean, it would be lovely to have that new heart focused every single week. You know, it's like we all get derailed, you know, just talking about Christmas and how we set the intention of, you know, having the correct focus and having the correct connection. And yeah, we definitely got derailed. I mean, which is okay. We'll start again. We'll keep trying. We're toddlers trying to walk, and we got knocked down, but we're going to get up.
What does it look like, though, when we start focusing on redemption instead of or in addition to self-improvement? How does that, what does that look like?
Well, you know, I listened to a talk yesterday from my sweet, darling, adorable friend Audrey in sacrament meeting, and she talked about the Redeemer and what redeemed is to her. And it was such a personal thing for her to, he's there in my mess. He's there in my challenges. He's there, and I know I don't have to do this alone. And you know, the other piece that I love about redeemed is that he purchased me. He already has suffered all those pains and sorrows and griefs and everything that I have gone through. He's felt that more intense than I have. And so he gets me. So redeemed to me is, okay, God, I'm going to fall down. God, I'm going to screw this up. Not intentionally, but I do. I have good intentions, and then I mess it up.
Yeah.
But because he purchased me and because he is my redeemer, he will redeem my efforts. He will strengthen and enable me to be able to get back up when I fall down.
And compensate us where we lack.
Yes, yeah. And give myself some grace for crying out loud. I'm such a critic sometimes of, gosh, dang it, Deb. I mean, it's one of those things that it's like, you know, I'm really hard on myself. And I pick up a beating stick and I'm like, ugh. But you know what? He doesn't. He gives me grace.
No, yeah, exactly. He's not surprised when we make mistakes. He's not surprised. He's not wringing his hand. He's not mad at you.
Right.
You know, but let's talk about this. What's the difference between resolution versus a new beginning? So, you know, I have a couple of ideas around that. You know, when I think about resolutions, what I'm really thinking about are things that are behavior-based.
right?
That's where I make messes.
And as soon as I say that, I think of a checkbox. You know, I think of things that are checkbox based. And again, there are things that should be. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to swing the pendulum one way or the other. I'm just trying to create balance and to help us to understand that redemption or a new beginning in Christ is far more powerful, far more important than setting these behavior based resolutions. Another one is, Deb, resolutions are outcome driven. Right? I said, I can measure it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just part of the SMART goal idea, is that I can measure it. And I can know whether or not I've been successful in achieving it. And almost every single one of them are discipline or willpower dependent.
Well, those are the resolutions. But, I mean, like you said, what's the difference between resolution and new beginnings?
Yeah.
I think, again, because we've talked about this in the past, new beginnings is relationship based. What's my relationship with my Savior? What's my relationship with Heavenly Father? The other one, I feel like in new beginnings, just like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot more grace. I feel like I'm on a daily need of grace. It's I messed up. I did it again. My weak spots.
Well, okay. So far you've said a new beginning in Christ is relationship based.
Yep.
I love that because our whole podcast is relationship based. A relationship with deity. That's what repentance is.
100%.
That's what emulation is. That's what adoration is. That's what even admiration of the Savior becomes as we grow closer to Him. I love that. That's relationship based. And then through that relationship, we begin to feel His grace at work in our lives.
Yep. And remember that we're in a fallen world and we're supposed to fall down and it's okay.
And it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Part of the plan even.
Yep. And then being rooted in the Savior, who Jesus really is. Not who we're becoming fast enough, but who He is. And you know what's difficult for me is doing it in His time. You know, we're in a world of instant gratification. And it's like, sometimes I kneel down and I put in my, I think they called it a vending machine prayer.
I think that's what Elder Uchtdorf called it.
And basically said, okay, here's my wish and desire. Now, can I get this outcome really fast? Can I have it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Can I have it within the weekend? Can I have it, you know? And it's like, I have to remember, this is not in my time, this is God's time. And really have the trust and faith that everything will work out for its good. Because there's some things, and especially recently, we've had this reunion with our family that was not fast enough for me. It took 2 years. And that was a long time for me to get my family back under the same roof.
Yeah,
it was hard. But God knew what He was doing. And it was perfect for everyone involved, including me, to remember I'm not in charge. I'm a control freak, and I know that does not surprise you or anyone else.
Well, I think that, you know, I wrote this down, and I think that this really kind of summarizes it for me. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't start by asking what we'll do differently next year. It starts by reminding us who the Savior is today and aligning with Him now.
I love that.
I really think that, you know, it's important for me and probably all of us to remember that. I get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of this world, in the, you know, making of deadlines, in the hitting quotas, in the making sure my scores are high enough at work, and, you know, and all that's good. But again, that's based on me. It's really based on Him, too, if I turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him in all things in my life, which I try to do. But practically speaking, that's all about me. When I turn my life over to Him, though, so that I can become new, and that's what we're talking about, just a new beginning. As we begin a new year, we want to focus potentially on having a new beginning. I love my favorite talk on new beginnings now is Elder Kieran.
I love that talk.
I do too. I'm going to play a clip from it. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me cue it up.
He's so great. I loved his last his Christmas address about receiving gifts.
Yeah, I did too.
Ah, I did such too. Such a great.
It seems like
reminder.
we actually talked about Elder Soares in our Elder's Quorum yesterday on his talk on temperance. Obviously something that's largely misunderstood, but I love it when these special witnesses of the name of Jesus Christ, right? Special witnesses of him, special witnesses of his covenant to us and all of those other things. I love it when they present insights that resonate with me the way that this one did. And I hope it does with our listeners the same way. This is Elder Karen from General Conference, October 2025.
To the lame, the deaf, and the dumb, to every grieving mother, desperate father, and mourning widow, to the condemned, the shamed, and the suffering, to the dead in body and the dead in spirit, what he did was offer a new beginning. Yes, another staggering understatement. Everything he said and did provided a new beginning for each of those he healed, blessed, taught, and relieved of sin. He didn't withdraw from them, and he certainly won't withdraw from you. Imagine in this moment hearing any of these life-giving words from him. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise, be thou clean. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace. The Savior's words to these individuals were brief, but with them he painted vast new horizons of forgiveness, healing, restoration, peace, and eternal life. And the glorious news is he offers the same new beginning to you and to me. All of us can have a new beginning through and because of Jesus Christ, even you.
To me, Deb, all of that is powerful and encouraging and uplifting, and I feel like brings me closer to a deeper relationship with my Savior. But you know the part that really hits me? And I hope we don't miss it. Even you. Mm-hmm. And he didn't say even you who are members of the church. And he didn't say even you who are completely keeping your covenants. And he didn't say even you who are 100% in the commandments. And he didn't, or any of those other things. He said, and even you. That seems pretty all inclusive to me. And that inclusion is what I think I want when I'm looking for how do I have a new beginning. I want to be included in the Savior's power. I don't want to feel like it's something that I have to earn through scrupulosity and through all the other things that I sometimes think I have to do. He's just waiting there.
You know, I think we keep referring to this, but it was such a powerful statement when Nick said he meets us. He likes to get his hands dirty. Jesus likes to get his hands dirty. He meets us in our mess. And I think no matter where we are, and it's surprising where you'll find him. When we seek him, we find him. And it's like even in our messiest, yuckiest place, he's just waiting. That agency he will never rob from us. And until I remember a story, Scott Harmon, when he said, I'm in my jail cell and I fell to my knees and I said out loud that child's prayer song, Heavenly Father, are you really there? And I think that's the plea. I think that's the alignment. I think that's what he's waiting for, that new beginning. And we have seen it. We've had such a gift to be able to see that in so many lives, including our own. I mean, we had do-over after do-over after do-over. We're a blended family. At 23 years, we pulled 7 kids together, and now we've got in-laws and almost 17 grandkids. It's like, it's messy. It gets chaotic. It gets crazy. But you know what? He has led us and given us new beginnings. And this, you know, in little tiny moments. I mean, I do not want anyone to think that our life is perfect, because it is not. But in little tiny moments, I see his hands so vividly. And I feel and I see these seven children have each other's back and support each other and lift each other. Because at night, every single night, putting names in the temple, we plead and pray that they'll remember who they are and whose they are, why they're here, and where they're going. And we see that miracle of that new beginning.
And that's what this is, right? We're not talking about creating a life with improvement plans or you know, a business, whatever, you know, plans of improvement. But what we're really talking about here is a new life. What what you're talking about, Deb, is a new life, like a new heart.
Yeah.
Right? A new life. He didn't wait for people to be ready. You know, I think of our family, you know, what would it have taken or what would have being ready looked like? I'm not sure any of that, you know, and then I think of the woman brought in adultery. You know, was she ready? I don't know that she was ready. I just think that Jesus meets us where we are when we align with him, we're looking for
I think she was ready.
What?
I think she probably was ready.
Yeah, you're right.
Otherwise, she wouldn't have received him.
But that's not a criteria.
Correct.
You know, and especially it's not a criteria that the metrics are not man-made, right? We don't say, okay, I'm ready once I've done this. It's more of a heart journey. It's more of a, is my heart ready? Is my attitude in alignment? And I think that that's important, you know. And the other thing it's important for us to remember, that as we do this year, Jesus, you said it, Jesus liked to get his hands dirty. That's what Nick taught us in his experience. But it's important for us to remember that he doesn't withdraw from brokenness. And we can, you know, David used to hate it. You know, David's the guy that used to do the podcast with me, my uncle, and the author of the co-author, I probably can't even say that, of The Divine Gift of Forgiveness with Elder Anderson. But he used to say, nobody's broken. I don't like it when we use the word broken and stuff like, and I get that, and I'm with him 100%. But sometimes we feel broken. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if we are misaligned and don't see things or see ourselves through the lens of spiritual eyes, then we can sometimes see ourselves as broken. And he did not withdraw from brokenness. He went right into it.
Yeah.
And he will come right into it in our new beginning, 2026, if we will allow him and align with him to do it.
Well, and I think sometimes that brokenness looks like tired or discouraged or lonely or feeling distant or maybe not meeting our expectations or overwhelmed or still in discouragement. I mean, horrifically discouraged, overwhelmed. The ones who tried last year and it didn't work. I mean, we just have to remember that, you know, just because it's, you know, maybe the word broken has so many different worlds of hard. And you know what? It's not supposed to be easy. And it's a good reminder for me when these things come in my life, when I'm tired and discouraged and I'm lonely or feeling distant from the Spirit. It's actually a really great reminder for me, because I'm uncomfortable, that it's my time to grow and remember that I need to be saved
through him,
a Savior.
Exactly. And that's the whole point, is that, you know, when, again, this isn't really January language, if you think about it, you know, it's more redemption language, which is where we should try to be every day, all the time. But we're really not focusing so much on me being able to change me, as it's what you just said, me turning my will to him, my life to him, let him care for me as he will and direct me as he will. You know, and when I do that, my life just goes a heck of a lot better. What I'm wondering, though, is, okay, now it's here we are in January, and what do we do with our whole resolution mindset then?
Well, I'm one that likes to chunk things off in little tiny increments, because I like little wins, not a great big win. But a whole bunch of little wins, through small and simple things, great things come about, or whatever that scripture says. I probably just... However, the message is still the same. I like to do little increments. And I think that's why the weekly sacrament is so critical for me, is because that's my new beginning. It's like I intentionally prepare on Saturday night to say, okay, I'm ready for a reset. I'm ready for my new beginning. another thing, you know, we talk about resolutions. I think resolutions for me feels like I have to carry this. It's mine to do. Where a new beginning is in alignment with Jesus Christ.
Okay. Yeah.
And where I'm going to yoke with him and I'm going to walk through my life with him.
Doesn't sound like then the problem is really about resolutions, really, right? I mean, that's not really the problem, is the resolution itself. The problem that can come up for me is asking resolutions to do for me what only Jesus Christ can do for me.
Yeah, because realistically, we're nothing without him.
And what I mean by that, really, you know, and you're saying, well, and someone might retort, well, Scott, you set a resolution or a goal, you achieve that goal, that does something for you. It builds your confidence, it makes you more credible, and it does a billion other things, whatever those things are that you're focusing on. Okay, well, that may be true. But if I'm asking Jesus Christ to step into my life and give me a new beginning, do you not think that I'll have the same outcomes eventually if they are in line with his will? And if they're in line with his will, do you think that those outcomes, if I give credit to him through his grace, through his love, etc., that I'm better aligned with him and I'm actually a better person because I'm more like him, more emulated to him, I become a better person than I would be if I was just focusing on achievement?
Well, I think for me, I'm very narrow-minded. And it's like when I really succumb and I surrender and I say, okay, God, not my will, but thine, all of a sudden, new windows open, new doors open, and I had no idea this was even possible. I think that's the piece that is so critical for me to remember is I am nothing and I am so narrow-minded. I'm in ignorance to the eternal perspective. But it's like, you know, we've seen so many pictures where if we just knew what God had in store for us, we would just be in awe. I mean, of what we have the capacity or capability of doing. But in my little moments when I surrender and when I say, okay, God, not my will, but thine be done, that's when I literally stand all amazed. And I'm like, I had no idea this would be possible. I had no idea I would have the blessings in such abundance just flooding throughout my life because I've allowed him to be in control.
Yeah, I love that. And allowing him to be in control, you know, I think it's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
When I think of resolutions, for example, I think of, you know, me carrying that weight.
Yeah, you know, it's heavy.
And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is heavy. And
you're strong.
And you know what? Set a goal that'll stretch you, babe. I mean, that's important, right? That's what we're taught and that's what we're heard. And again, that's all great and good, you know. But if I'm focusing on or if I see that resolutions, what they really are is asking me to carry the weight of change alone. And then I contrast that with new beginnings or a new beginning in Jesus Christ, which asks me, or rather invites me, to allow Christ to carry it with me.
I'm telling you, the burden's a lot lighter.
Yeah, yeah. I think when we were talking about this earlier, you used the word yoked, and I think that that's a pretty good way to look at it.
So what does a new beginning actually look like? You know what that reminds me of? Years ago, when we went to Haleakala, and you get up at 3, it's in Hawaii, on the Mau, and the island of Maui, and you get up 3 in the morning and drive and drive and drive and drive up a really high mountain to watch this sunrise. Well, I remember this moment. I was with my friend Michelle.
Above the clouds. Sun hasn't risen yet.
No, it's dark.
It's dark, but it's Hawaii, so it's beautiful in the darkness.
Well, it's kind of on a lava.
Yeah, like, big old mountain.
Yeah, anyways. I will never forget this. It was in 2008, to be exact. But I remember going up, wearing my coat, and I remember going up, and there were a lot of people up there. And it was quiet. Like, it was still very, very dark. And when you got the first little hint of light, this was the sunrise, when you got very first, it was like this, it got more sacred and more quiet. And these people were, when they were communicating to each other, were literally whispering. It was a sacred, sacred moment. And as soon as that sun, and it felt like it took forever, but as soon as, because it got light and light and light and light, and then it broke to where you actually saw the light, there was this Hawaiian lady that started singing this chant of light. I sat there and wept. And I thought, this happens every single day. This little miracle that I just watched happens every single day. Without fail, that sun comes up. And I have been really conscientious about watching the sun rise and watching the sun set. It has been such a sacred thing. And that's what I thought of when we said a new beginning. It's like every day can be such a new beginning
right.
for us.
Yeah, I love that. You know what that reminds me of? And I don't want to detract from your beautiful story, but several years ago, and I was having a pretty rough day, and I called my sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was talking to him, and come to find out, this is something that Big Al taught everybody that he sponsored, and so I wasn't, I felt like I was special to be getting this special teaching on this day, but I called him, and he's like, he called me Durf. Durf, how's your day going? I go, man, and I read off a list, and you know what he said to me? He said, Durf, you can begin your day again anytime you want. You don't have
start
to wait
over.
Till tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can begin your day today, right? I mean, you can begin your day again in this moment.
Start your day over.
If you really want to. But you know what he taught me? He says, but it requires something. And I said, what is that? And he says, it requires that you turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him. Mm. And that's really what we're talking about here, babe. Mm. You know, receiving him. We've talked about that this season. Aligning with him. Allowing him to actually be in our life. You know, a new beginning, it's not going to erase my past. But you know what it's going to do? It'll redeem it.
Yeah.
It'll redeem my past. It'll cover it. It'll compensate for it. It'll strengthen the weaknesses that came because of it. And I can be redeemed and forgiven, and it can be covered. Not made bright, not fixed, but covered by the blood of the Lamb.
It's not going to remove any challenges or struggles.
Right.
I mean, definitely. But it does mean that, you know, you've got your Savior, and grace is still very, very active.
Yep.
Our story is not over. I love this different way to start the new year. It kind of gives me a relief of somhat of,
yeah.
Oh, good. I don't have to lose 12 pounds and I don't have to whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like I don't have these expectations on myself that set me up for resentment or disappointment.
Premeditated failure.
Premeditated failure. There you go. But it helps me remember in small and simple things. And I love the reminder that at any time you can start your day over. And I've done that like 5 o'clock in the afternoon,
right.
8 o'clock at night. I just need a reset button.
I know we've done it together.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've said that. Actually, can we do a do-over?
Hey, can we have a mulligan here? Can we start again? Can we start our day again now?
Yep.
In fact, we did that a couple of times this past holiday season, and I'm so grateful, so, so grateful to know that we can do that. A new beginning is just awaiting us. A new beginning is just about us being willing. Just even willing to turn our will and our life over to him, to allow him into our lives, to allow his redemption to take effect, to see repentance as relief, to see the sacrament as renewal, to see faith as continued turning, or a finding joy in daily repentance, turning to him.
And I think too, finding God in your everyday life. You know, just push pause and say, where did God show up today? And when I say that, I get emotional because he is very, very present. He is very present. And it's obvious. And I invite our listeners to find him, seek him. Just push pause for a moment. Just say, where is God showing up for me? Because I promise he's there. Seek and expect miracles, straight out of President Nelson's mouth.
Well, as we kind of wrap up, I think that there's just maybe two invitations that I'd like to extend to us. First one is maybe just identify something that we're willing to stop carrying alone.
Yeah.
You know, what is that burden that you're carrying alone? Something that you want no one else to know. Something that has been difficult even to confess to deity, to Heavenly Father and to His Son that we're carrying. So, you know, maybe just identify it. Now, I'm not asking you to allow Him to carry it right now, but let's start by identifying what that would be.
Yeah, awareness.
If we just have that awareness, maybe we can move into to allowing it.
And then also identifying, you know, where we're going to let the Savior walk with us. You know, where can we actually, you know, sometimes I'm in my car and I'll say, oh, please lift, please help, please assist. You know, I've got some kids that are going through some challenges right now. And I'm like, oh, Heavenly Father, please be with them. Please lift their burden. Please give them peace. Please let them feel you there.
Yeah. Yeah, but maybe even as a parent, you know, ask Him to walk with them. But you know what? That's up to them.
Right. And walk with me so I can have peace watching it.
That's what I want. Yeah. Just walk with me. Walk with me.
Yeah. So what if this year isn't about becoming someone else, but about trusting that someone more?
Someone being Jesus Christ, obviously. So I love how you put that. Not about becoming someone else, but about trusting someone else, trusting Jesus Christ.
More, yeah.
I love that.
Trusting Him 100%. That's faith.
Yeah. I love that. Well, because Jesus Christ lives, we know for sure that new beginnings are not just hopeful ideas. They're doctrinal realities, and they're available now, not just in January, not just at the end of the year, not just resolution time, but now, forever. Yeah. And I hope that, you know, I hope that I can remember that through the year. A new beginning is available to me at any time. I can start my day over anytime I want.
And may your new beginnings that you find this year be peaceful, joyful, and abundance.
We love you. We look forward to being with you again next week. And until then,
be well.
Be well.